5:04 on a Monday afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia, 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3 in 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 Southside, and 1350 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia. Folks, welcome to the show. We've got a good one coming your way. We have crowned a NASCAR champion. Let all rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Joey Logano.
Your guy.
Not really.
I don't know if anybody's your guy. It's NASCAR.
I'm just curious. Do the seas like part? Is it like Moses and the Red Sea, where all the drivers just let the four people competing for a championship go to the front and duke it out?
I would say your conspiracy theory doesn't carry a lot of weight, but then I look at the fact that just when it was getting difficult for Kyle Busch, his teammate ends up, quote, getting loose with another car, end quote, into the wall and brings out the caution. And we were all laughing in the household because it was either watching that or watching my Eagles just not show up in New Orleans. They missed the memo on that. Super Bowl hangover continues for another week and now is about to continue for an entire offseason. So we're watching it and my wife's going, really? You know, his teammate just got into a wreck? There's nothing fishy with that. It was Daniel Suarez. NASCAR.
Love me some NASCAR.
I was just hoping that Truex would win and then they'd celebrate victory by closing the operations.
That was the ultimate
be like a two-time champion. I mean, really, it'd be like the Golden State Warriors shutting down. Yeah, I know we won two championships, but we just can't make this thing work.
We can't make it any money. We can't make any money. We're losing it hand over fist, winning championships. Yeah, NASCAR is a very, very bizarre, and I'll use this term loosely, sport. When one of your top race teams has to fold up, that's just puzzling.
I mean, it's a championship operation. They've won a championship.
And finished, what, second?
Yeah.
Here this time?
Seriously, it'd be like if the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, and then right after the parade, it's like, all right, everybody, go back to the office. What, we're partying there? No, we're taking everything away. We're closing the doors forever. What?
It's all over. All over but the crying. Well, anyway, congratulations to Joey Logano. Rough weekend locally for the local football teams. The Redskins lost a quarterback. Ugly
injury. Oh, my goodness. That was gruesome.
To Alex Smith. Just ugly period in Blacksburg as the Miami Hurricanes came to town and basically had their way with the Hokies. Cavs couldn't quite pull it out down in Georgia, and the Flames couldn't score. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Yep, pretty much.
Now on to next week.
Well, at least somebody's going to win one of these games.
It could be Marshall. Marshall could come away as the big winner Friday.
Yes, because Virginia Tech, I got the release yesterday, has the contingency plan in place noon yesterday or right afternoon. That if Virginia Tech beats Virginia, it'll be a noon kickoff Saturday, December 1st over at the Ed for Marshall and Virginia Tech.
The big win here for Marshall is as follows. If they play the game, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Ed, but if they play the game, if Tech winds up, you know, winning a home game.
Yes.
And beats Virginia, which, you know, in this day and age, them beating Virginia is just, it's almost comical to think of, considering how long the streak is. But then the other streak you're looking at is Tech's lost four straight home games.
Yes.
Badly. Badly.
The Enter Sandman tradition apparently isn't intimidating anyone. They're now speculating that it fires the other team up.
I don't know. It's just absolutely crazy what's going on in Blacksburg right now. But if they wind up beating Virginia, they will be one game short of bowl eligibility. And, of course, they canceled the game with East Carolina because of the hurricane, which never really materialized.
Yes.
Although it was much more significant down in the Carolinas. So that certainly isn't anything to be poo-pooed. But in order to get to bowl eligibility, Virginia Tech has struck a deal with Marshall. Now, Marshall also missed a game because of that hurricane, but they had an insurance policy, which paid them, what, $1.4 million?
Yes.
And if they play Tech a week from Saturday, Tech will pay them $300,000 to come and play, and that would be deducted from their insurance policy. So the policy would pay them $1.1 million, $300,000 would come from Tech, and what they'd basically get is still the $1.4 million, and they'd get a game plus a home and home with Tech.
Correct.
But
there's more.
If Tech loses to Virginia, here's the big win for Marshall. They still get the $1.4 million from the insurance payout. If Tech does not beat Virginia, they still have to pay Marshall an extra $100,000. And Marshall still gets the home and home with the Hokies. That's like having your cake and eating it, too.
Yeah, oh, that would be hog heaven for the Thundering Herd. To get that kind of payout, not even have to play the game. I mean, they'll be making tons of money on this sport.
Plus the home and home. It's a good deal.
That's a fantastic deal for them.
Marshall cut themselves a sweet deal. And Virginia Tech, I guess that's kind of what happens when you're scrambling for bowl eligibility. And ironically enough, Brian and I were talking about this today. The two longest streaks of bowl eligibility right now?
Yes, they are.
Florida State.
And Virginia Tech. And both of them could come to a close this weekend.
Right.
Florida State against miraculously. Rivals. Yes, and Florida State miraculously kept their chances alive with that upset victory over Boston College, which you talk about a demoralizing loss for that team. They had everything going in their own way. And then to fall down the stretch to Florida State in a very beatable year, this Florida State team no less.
The ACC's all upside down right now.
It's Clemson dominating a bunch of mediocre to garbage teams.
The ACC's all upside down. We're sitting here about BC had a bad loss to Florida State.
Yes.
That just sounds so wrong. But that's the world we live in. And the Virginia Tech Hokies right now, their backs are up against the wall. They came out okay, Ed, but things fell apart and the Miami Hurricanes did a number on them. And, again, at Lane Stadium and so many questions. And we'll talk more about this coming up in covering the Commonwealth in just a few minutes. But, I mean, what do you say? What do you say to Hokie fans right now?
What do you say to Tech fans right now? You ready for the season to be over? Are you looking forward to a bowl game for anything more than just an extra couple weeks of practice, which they clearly need?
Well, I'm keeping the streak alive. That's...
Yes.
Right? You don't want to be one of the guys that ends the streak.
No. You don't want to, but it's crazy because I don't know what sentiments you've gotten, Rich, but talking to Tech fans with whom I've spoken, in family and out of family, it's almost to a man or woman, they have all resigned themselves to the idea that, yeah, it's going to end this year. I mean, I almost all of them. And I don't know whether they're just bracing themselves because the year's gone so bad, but almost all of them are like, yeah, they're not winning this thing. No, the streak's going to end this year. It's been a great ride while it's lasted.
Which streak? The bowl streak or both?
No, the streak against Virginia.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously if that ends, the bowl streak ends.
Correct.
But they're already resigned to the fact that they're not going to beat UVA?
Oh, absolutely. My dad said it to me. My dad, being a big Tech fan, I mean, he said it like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. He's like, yeah, this is the year it's going to happen. I'm like, you know, they won 14 straight. He's like, yeah, but I know these things when I see it. And I'm like, all right, first of all, I'm not arguing with you when you go into that mode. Second of all, if it wasn't for the fact that it's 14 in a row, I'd say you're absolutely right that Virginia would beat Virginia Tech. It literally is the fact that there is a mental hurdle that Virginia's had against Virginia Tech that gives me any pause to say this may change.
Now, what did you think of Virginia's performance down in Atlanta against Georgia Tech? Because we all thought Virginia was going to lose that game as well, and they wound up losing the game, but it was much...
It was closer than I thought. Out of everybody last week who thought this was going to be a letdown, and they weren't even going to show up for that game.
Yeah, you kept going back to that. Are they going to look past Georgia Tech?
I thought that was going to happen. They had nothing really to gain by winning that game. One extra regular season win, sure, and that would be nice, and you have a chance to get 10 on the year.
Who's Virginia to look past anyone, though?
When you put this much hype into the Virginia Tech game, when you have signs up in your locker room, how many clock counting down, how many days till you beat the team? I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's been their whole point of emphasis the entire year.
How much of a hero is Bronco going to be if they wind up getting the win in Blacksburg on Friday? I mean, wouldn't he have just flipped the whole script in the course of a year? I mean, because there were people, even at the beginning of the year, when we were talking about it, when they came back from Media Day and pinpointed the fact that one of their primary goals was beating Virginia Tech.
Yes.
And there were people who were killing them about that. How can you waste the rest of the season? You know, you can't put it all on one game at the end of the year. That's not the right way to do it. And if they wind up, and I realize that it's still a big if, Ed, but if they wind up beating Virginia Tech, I mean, Bronco just ascends pretty much to legendary status in Charlottesville, doesn't he?
He goes from pariah to legend in like 4 months.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's a little insane.
But it would. I mean, like, I think it would absolutely solidify his status. And my question at that point, and I think you can make the argument honestly right now, but I think at that point you can legitimately make it. I don't think any Virginia football fan right now expects them, they shouldn't realistically, to be on par with Clemson. I mean, you don't recruit at that level. I hope not. Well, no, but I mean, like, the idea, well, we don't want to just be a 9-10 win team. They're not on par with Clemson. I mean, I can tell you, eyeball test, pretty obvious. No one in the ACC is. We've had the whole year to play out and determine this. And Pitt's going to be the next victim in a couple of weeks. Congratulations to the Panthers on beating Wake Forest and clinching their date with destruction in Charlotte on December 1st. Because that's what's going to happen to them. But for Virginia, you know, to have a 9-win season, they'll have 8 in the regular season if they get this. To end the streak, I think the comparisons will be there, personality-wise and approach and slow and steady and trying to do things.
The comparisons to what? Clemson?
Tony Bennett.
Oh, to Tony Bennett.
Yeah, he'll be the football version of Tony Bennett.
Yeah, well.
Which I don't think is totally right, because I think, honestly, all jokes about losing as a one seed to a 16 aside, Virginia is at least a program where you can envision a national title coming for basketball at some point.
Basketball's a little different than football.
It absolutely is. I mean, I'll go this far. I think it's easier for Virginia Tech basketball right now than football to envision a national title, because it's so hard to crack that top core. As long as Alabama and Clemson are doing what they're doing, there's just a finite number of teams that are going to have everything in place to be on that particular level. I mean, heck, Notre Dame's having a great year this year. I don't think anyone in their right mind thinks they're as good as Clemson or Alabama. I mean, that's how hard it is in football. Basketball, it's different. But the slow and steady approach of what Bronco Mendenhall has done, building a program over time, enduring early career at the school, failures and disappointments, players transferring out, saying, begging the fans basically, give me time, give me time, give me time, and then there's a payoff point. I think that's where Virginia could say, all right, you know, we got our guy that we believe can really lead this program for a sustained period of time.
You know, it's going to be interesting, and we live in a society, in a microwave society, right, where everything's always judged instantly. And we've talked about this all the time.
No, instant gratification nowadays, never.
Well, you win a game and all of a sudden you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You lose a game and the earth is, you know, crumbling, right?
Yes.
And, you know, a team gets hot, wins a game or two, and they're going to the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the Patriots are a great example of that, right? I mean, they look great. And then they lose a couple games, and it's like, oh, my God, what's wrong with the Patriots? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They suck. That's a whole nother aside. But I think at the end of this year, And this is, again, something that at the beginning of the year, 3 or 4 months ago, you would have been crazy to even talk about. But I think a fun conversation, if things continue to progress the way they're going, is to sit down and reevaluate Tech and UVA's coaching hires just a few years ago.
I'll throw Miami in there as a Miami guy, because the reason why I throw all of them in there is the one hire out of that bunch that started off the worst, that had the slow and steady approach, that people were going, is this really the right hire after the first couple of years, was Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, microwave instant gratification society, you had a coach that was willing to say, look, we need to tear this thing down to the studs and try to rebuild it. And I get that that's not always the philosophy everywhere, and you're not going to need it at certain programs, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, places like that. But Virginia identified that, and Virginia Tech has, they're in year three, and their struggles are as pronounced as ever based on the lack of recruiting at the end of their tenure and the lack of player development. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not throwing the towel in on Fuente, and I don't think you should
absolutely
dump
not.
Bud Foster, even though they've had an awful year and they've not progressed at all. The guy's earned enough clout in my mind that he should be back next year. You shouldn't force him out the door.
Who?
Bud Foster.
It's 1 year.
No, it is. And it's been a bad and a disappointing year. But I think the other thing that helped is, of all the programs that we just rattled off, Virginia's the one where it was pretty obvious that you could tell the fans, this thing needs to be torn down, and it's a little more broken than you may want to believe, and it's going to take some time, and the fans were going to believe it. Miami, they're delusional, and they're spoiled. Virginia Tech is sitting there going, well, we had Frank Beamer, he's a legend, and I think they didn't really want to see that when you have a coach that's a legend, but things start to slip, and he's old, that, like it or not, programs are going to negatively recruit against that.
You know, the Miami thing, I don't know that, I understand the timing of the coaching hire makes it relevant to the Tech and UVA conversation, but Miami's a whole different animal than what you're looking at with Tech and UVA. And, you know, and I thought, Uncle Luke, I think, put it well. They just missed on a couple quarterbacks. You know, I mean, there's still an awful lot of talent there, but you miss on the, you know, the most important position of the year, or of the most important position on the team, and that could be critical. Now, if they keep missing, if there are other problems, but, you know, when you look at the Tech and UVA thing, you know, they're forever going to be held together because of their proximity, the rivalry, the fact that they're all right here. Again, Miami, I think, is a little bit of a different animal. So I think, again, though, that it's going to be very interesting to revisit this maybe in as soon as a week.
I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
All those people who, Bronco sucks, he's no good, you know, why did we hire him? I mean, now you're sitting here going, okay, what do you got to say now? And in the meantime, the flip side, with all the Fuente people who, you know, he took over in first year, right? He's in the ACC championship game, and oh, we're just keeping things going. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing the train off the tracks a little bit.
Yes, we are.
And we're sitting here what was it, a year ago? Where everybody's like, oh my God, are we going to lose Fuente? Right? Is someone going to hire him away?
I'll put it this way. USC gets rid of Clay Elton, I don't think they're going for him this year.
This isn't the year. And we got to take a break, and we got to get to covering the Commonwealth. But first, can I just say that we saw over the weekend another example of why the Browns are the Browns?
What's the latest?
Condoleezza Rice?
I was wondering if that's where you were going to go with this. Yeah, I mean, look.
I mean,
look,
that the coach?
As a coach?
Like, seriously?
Has she even been in a locker room?
Like, seriously?
I mean, you know me, Rich. I'm Mr. Progressive. I like trying new things, giving, you know, females opportunities. If
me
they've
too.
Served, yeah, BS. I just bite my tongue to not curse there. That's why it took me so long to get the words out. So ridiculous. But if you've had a lady who served in an analytical role and she's maybe evaluated personnel, and you say, hey, we want to give this person title of director of scouting or player personnel or in some position, fine, I get it, I understand it. The locker room's a different dynamic. And if you've never been benched, it's not like she's been around the team. Not even that. It's not like she's served in the personnel department and has at least been around the team to know. She hasn't been around any team. The closest she's gotten is serving on the college football playoff committee. I mean, heck, you could have, that's like saying, well, he's an AP voter. Might as well make him coach.
See, I could even see the talk in years past about her possibly being a commissioner.
Yes.
Right? Because that's not about the X's and O's of football.
Well, I mean,
she's never coached.
Well,
she's never played.
Well, I've heard the commissioner thought, and I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a really good idea. She seems like she could do a great job at that. Neutral observer, process information, crisis management, all Browns. The things that go in there. Hey, coach, Browns? How's she going to make Baker Mayfield better? Can you imagine this distinguished lady who has served our nation in such a great capacity trying to relate to Baker Mayfield? I mean, really? Might as well just bring Johnny Manziel back as the backup and see how that goes.
No, better yet, the post-game press conference. Can you please explain to us why you switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3? What? Oh, boy. All right, 5:24. Quick break, and we're coming back covering the Commonwealth next.